thinking about it. Subconsciously, you're thinking about it. What kind of people are we going to become? And that question naturally leads to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, it just naturally comes to that. Grant, you're going to be so excited in just a minute. I got a video clip that's going to make your day, okay? Promise. I love this movie, by the way. I love it. It's one of my favorite movies. I don't know what Tim Burton was doing later on trying to redo it. That was kind of a disaster. This movie, when I was a kid, we used to watch it all the time. It's one of those movies we watched over and over again because it was just great. Gene Wilder is amazing. The characters are amazing. And you remember all the characters, right? So you've got Mike TV in the back, which I think if Dahl had written the book later, he probably would have called him Mike's cell phone, but they called him Mike TV back then. You remember Mike? He just watched TV all the time. He was like super smart, but he never left his couch. And it's kind of glaring, these idiosyncrasies and shortcomings these characters had. And then you had Augustus Gloop, who was a big fat kid that couldn't just help himself but dive into that chocolate river, which I give him a lot of credit because I probably would have done the same thing. And then you had Violet Baudelaire, right, the chewing gum lady who just would chew gum constantly, and she was like super competitive and was just kind of bratty. What? Violet Baudelaire, that's her name. Yeah. Come on, get with the program, man. I know this movie. And then there's Veruca Salt, the brattiest, most obnoxious character ever to be seen. Veruca Salt. I want it now, Daddy. Grant, are you ready for your video clip? Let's watch Veruca. Go ahead and run that beautiful bean footage there. Man, I love Gene Wilder. I love the way he just stood there the whole time and didn't move or anything. You know, like, in a lot of ways, Veruca Salt is like the perfect American, isn't she? Like, I mean, I thought about playing that Queen song from back in the 90s. I want it all. I want it all. I want it now, and I want it all. That's us. Like, we want it all. And so the whole idea, this concept of discipline, is not going to come very easy to us, Kathy. This is not a natural conversation for us. This goes against all of our instincts. And I just always think of Veruca Salt anytime I think about discipline, because we want it now. Like, think about all the different areas of our lives. Like, food. I want to eat everything I can whenever I want. Like, she had me at 10,000 pounds of ice cream. I was like, I'm in. But that's how we are about our food. We want it all. We want to just be able to do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. That's how we are with our money. We want to be able to buy whatever we want, whenever we want. It's how we are with our time. We want to be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. And we know that as we grow up, you don't get to do that. You can eat whatever you want, whenever you want, and eventually you're not going to feel very good, as many of us have realized as you get older. And so you decide you have to balance your diet a little bit. You have to exercise a little discipline. You have to literally exercise sometimes. Financially is kind of the same thing. You can't buy whatever you want whenever you want. You have to elicit a little bit of responsibility. You have to balance your budget. If there's something you can't afford right now, you should save up your money and buy that later. If you have a job, you don't get to do whatever you want whenever you want. Other people are relying on you. They're counting on you. This whole idea of discipline is not something that really sounds all that much fun, if we're honest with ourselves. What do you think of when you think, when you hear the word discipline? What are some of the things that you think of? Share among us. What do you think of when you think of discipline? Ron Cole. Getting paddled in school. That's how old Ron is. That don't happen no more. Getting paddled in school. School, I mean, anybody get disciplined in school? Maybe not paddled, but something happens. Jordan, you got something? What's that? Sacrifice? It's like, yeah, you have to discipline yourself. It is a sacrifice, right? Julia. Oh, this isn't confession time. You don't have to confess all the times you had to go to the principal's office, but you've been disciplined. No paddle, though, right? Aren't you glad you're not as old as Ron? Julia, think of that. When Ron was your age, you messed up, man. I know, when I was a kid, there was a paddle that hung in our principal's office. Like, you didn't have to use it. It just hung there. What was wrong with you older people? What else do you think of when you think of discipline? Biting your tongue. How, are you disciplined in that, Randy? Holding back, right? That's right. Some people just, as soon as a thought comes to them, they just, and so learning to bite your tongue is a discipline, right? What else? Exercise. I hate it. Like, exercise is just terrible. Athletes, right? Eating, like, you can't help but think of discipline when it comes to food. Not when you're a kid. When you're a kid, you know, you would eat ice cream until you threw up. But as you get a little older, you realize, and it's not just about looking good. Like, you don't feel as good after the fourth Coney dog at Skyline, right? The three was plenty. Four, uncomfortable. The seventh donut from Krispy Kreme, one too many. Somebody has something? Anybody else think of something when you think of discipline? And prayer. Okay, so obviously we're going to get there eventually, right? Like, it is discipline. Yeah, thanks for that. Gold star for Ann. Discipline, prayer life, right? But all of these things are not necessarily things that come naturally. Go to the next slide, Samuel. So I think you immediately, and Brian referenced it this morning talking over communion. You think of sports. And specifically, I mean, this is a great, I didn't even mean for this to happen, but the Arnold is this weekend, so it's like the perfect topic for this week, right? Everybody's been, this is the best weekend of the entire year to people watch around Columbus. Like, go to Easton, it's well worth the parking charge of just walking around these massive people. This is the weekend you're most likely to see a woman with an arm wrestling championship t-shirt on. True story, that happened. All right, so all these people are in town. And the thing about athletes, it's just amazing the discipline that they show. Every year during the Olympics, when the Olympics are on, there's always stories about these athletes and the sacrifices. Jordan mentioned the sacrifices they make, right? The ice skaters that are on the ice at 4 o'clock in the morning and they skate for 6 hours and then eat lunch and do homework and then skate for 6 more hours. The runners, the swimmers, I mean, everybody. It's just amazing the sacrifice and the commitment and the discipline that they have. One of the funniest tweets I've ever seen was during the Olympics this year when Bill Murray tweeted that he thinks that, like, for every Olympic event, one like ordinary person should compete, like just for a frame of reference. You get so used to these guys, oh, they won by 1/100 of a second, and then Mike and Adam go out there and they beat us by like 8 laps or something. You're like, oh, okay, this is pretty impressive. Go to the next one, Samuel. Nobody mentioned the military. I mean, you can't help but think of how disciplined the military is, and those of you who served in the armed forces realize that one of the primary goals of boot camp is to get discipline into your life, right? Because ordinary folks, we live pretty undisciplined lives. And so there's something about listening to authority. There's something about getting your bed to where the dime will pop up on it or whatever it is. Go to the next one. What else do we have? I saw this picture and I thought, just as a rule, parents, don't point at your children ever, especially when you're disciplining them. But discipline starts at home. Part of one of the primary responsibilities of all parents is to just try to instill discipline in their children. Learn right from wrong. Help them learn how to live their life in a good way. One more, Samuel. And then, of course, the teacher. Hey, Ron, this would have been a better disciplinary procedure, right, on the chalkboard, not necessarily the paddles. But all of these ways, all these areas are different ways where we come to expect or understand discipline. But it seems kind of out of sorts to talk about discipline in church. Those of you who went to Catholic schools growing up may remember Catholic nuns, and your idea of faith discipline may be, is that the next picture, Samuel? I can't remember. What's that? Go ahead to the next one. What is it? Oh, I forgot about the ultimate discipline. I almost forgot about Mr. Miyagi, right? That's discipline. All right, then one more. Like, for a lot of people, this is their understanding of discipline in church, right? And now we don't have nuns, but, you know, we have, I don't know, fill in the blank, somebody here who's our nun, right? The person who, for us, we always had somebody that, you know, if the kids were acting up in church, somebody in the back pew was always the one that was. Is that really what discipline is about? I mean, is that what faith discipline is? Obviously, we're talking about something a little different. So this morning, we're going to wrestle with this idea of what is discipline as it meets faith. Because I don't think we have a very good frame of reference for discipline. As I said in the beginning, I don't think we're by nature very disciplined. What really sets apart athletes at the highest levels is their commitment to discipline. I mean, I think we watch them and we think, oh, it must be amazing to be that physical in that kind of shape. But I guarantee if you talk to Ray or Angie or Val or any coach, they'll give you a list of people who were incredibly gifted but just didn't have the discipline to set them apart from everybody else. That's why LeBron James is phenomenal. He's gifted incredibly as an athlete, but his discipline is unbelievable. Tom Brady, the same way. He's super weird, but his commitment to his diet and the way that they commit to a disciplined life, it sets them apart from everybody else. And we're going to get to the passage that Brian read this morning. It was natural that Paul looked to athletes and says, now we get what discipline looks like there. We understand that. But what does it look like with us living out our faith in a disciplined way? And I think there's primarily two different kind of aspects of discipline in our faith. And we're going to look at the first one first. And I think the Bible will kind of illuminate us a little bit on what exactly it means to be disciplined in our faith. Because I think just like all of us would probably admit that physically, when it comes to our diet, we're not probably the most disciplined people. I mean, almost everybody I know would say, oh, I shouldn't eat this, or I should be doing this a little better, or I should be working out a little bit. I mean, we realize that. And life isn't about, you know, mastering all of that. It's about, oh, we're trying to do better. Same with our finances. Most people say, yeah, we should probably save a little bit more, be a little bit more disciplined, or not go out to eat so much, or whatever it is, but we're working towards that goal. We're going to find the same kind of theme with our faith. It's not necessarily about achieving 100% spiritual discipline. It's about which direction are we moving. And I think for a lot of people, they look at our faith, commitment, and discipline as, man, we were at church every Sunday last year. Like, even when we were vacation, we found a church to go. You know, we're a disciplined family. Is that really what Scripture's talking about when it talks about discipline? Or, you know, way we sacrificed, you know, my son or my daughter didn't go to practice this day. We were there at this church function. That's good. That's part of it, I think. But aren't we after something a little bit deeper and a little bit different? Well, we're going to start in Hebrews, because I think the Hebrew writer kind of gives us a different picture of what discipline may look like. The first way that we talk about discipline is that we are disciplined within our experiences. That's what the Hebrew writer talks about. So in Hebrews chapter 12, kind of an extended passage here, but listen to what the Hebrew writer says. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding of blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. And then he goes on, and there's not a lot of passages like this where he kind of gives us an extended treatment of discipline. He says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Well, we look around today and we say, a lot. There's a lot of people in our society that don't receive discipline from their father or from their mother, either one. If you're not disciplined, and everybody undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who've disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, a lot of you are going through some trials right now. I mean, we don't have time to go around and address every single situation, but there's a lot of our members who are enduring hardships right now. And what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews is that, kind of like a parent, God allows some things to happen to us. I don't fully understand it, and there's a whole theological discussion that we'll have to just skirt for now, but in some ways, the Hebrew writer says, God allows things to happen to us for our discipline. Now, I don't think God's a sadist. He's not out there just watching us, you know, for his own enjoyment, endure hardship. But there's that correlation to being a parent that I think everybody can understand, because we all realize that our parents underwent this process where they slowly were kind of cutting the cord, letting us kind of go off on our own. And there were times, I can guarantee, when our parents looked at us and knew that this was not the best thing for us. And maybe they tried to advise us, and maybe they tried to suggest otherwise, but as a parent, you eventually have to just say, you're just going to have to figure it out on your own. And the Hebrew writer says that's pretty much what God does, is God allows us to go through things, and he has that great line in there that says nobody enjoys discipline. Like, nobody's out there going, oh, I can't wait to starve myself, or I can't wait to make this change, or I can't wait to get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning to run sprints, or whatever it is. There's part of everybody that says, yeah, I would rather not do that. I'd rather go eat donuts. Like, that's just what most people would rather do. I mean, even the really hardcore folks, if they had their druthers and they say, hey, you could not go through this and still get to where you wanted to go, most people go, okay. And so the Hebrew writer is saying, it may not be the greatest experience that you've ever had, but all of you who have worked out physically know that eventually you'll come through the other side and go, I feel better now. I feel better now. Brian mentioned this. You can't just wake up tomorrow and go, I'm going to run a marathon tomorrow. I just never done that before, so Bringley, are you in? Let's just do that. Like, what we're in. We'll just do that. You can't do that. You have to build up to it. You've got to train yourself to kind of to get there. And what Hebrews says is that part of the training is just living life. Just going through the experiences that you go through. And through that, God is like a father disciplining us. And that's hard to hear, especially in the midst of it. I mean, I've met with so many people who are just, why is God testing me? Why is God letting this happen to me? I don't know the answers to that. Again, I don't think he's doing it just for the sake of discipline, just to go, oh yeah, watch him squirm under this pressure. Oh, let's see what else we could do. That's kind of what the story of Job is about, is God's not just out there for his druthers. But the first element of discipline is realizing that what's happening in your life is shaping you into who you're becoming. And if you do it with faith, God can work with it. God will make you a stronger, better person, more committed. So on the one experience is that God will shape us and mold us through the experiences that we have. But then the passage that Brian read for us from 1 Corinthians 9 talks about another type of discipline. Beginning of verse 24, he turns to athletics. Because it's such an easy metaphor to understand this. Don't you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Run in such a way to get... Don't get the participation ribbon. Run like you want to win. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Every marathoner runs a few miles first. They don't just set out and go, it's 26.2, I think I'll do 26.2 today. I'll do 4, then I'll do 5, then I'll do 8, then I'll do 12, then I'll go back to 4, then I'll go to 20, and eventually get there. They do it to get a crown that won't last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I don't run like somebody running aimlessly. I don't fight like a boxer just beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Run in such a way to get a prize. That takes discipline. It takes some commitment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul says, The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. That God has given us not a spirit of timidity, not a spirit of withdrawal, but a spirit of power and of self-discipline. And just like it takes some initiative to get off the couch and get started, like that's the hardest thing, right? I was talking to Michelle, who's the leading that fitness class up here, and she said, yeah, our enrollment's always really good in January, right? Everybody knows that. You get all those gym ads the first week of January, and everybody commits to it. And the big question for exercise is always, well, who's still sticking to their routine in May? Like 5 months in, who's still sticking to it? So it's difficult to get started, and then once you get started, it's tough to stick to it. And when it comes to our spiritual lives, I think that's really the crisis that we always face. Are we disciplined in our relationship with God? And that's a question that I can't really answer for you. You have to consider it for yourself. Are you committed to your relationship with God in such a way that it's a discipline? That it takes discipline, just like all those other aspects that I think we easily think of, that we've been talking about. But spiritually, we all fight this Veruca Salt kind of spirit among us. Like we want this deep, passionate relationship with God. We read about other people in their kind of fervent prayer lives, and we think, I want that. And we set out to try to run the prayer marathon the first time that we really commit, and we burn out right away. It's like you throw up after 5 miles if you've never ran before, right? You're just done. Well, after 5 minutes of silence in a prayer, that might be the same way, where you just kind of burned out. And so this seemed like the perfect Sunday to kind of offer this these words. It seemed like the perfect time to begin to consider becoming disciplined. To think about how you might better ingrain your relationship with God. It's one of the reasons why over the course of the next 6 weeks, we're going to meet together on Sunday nights. We need to be more disciplined as a church family as well. There's a lot of ways we could talk about the ways that we're undisciplined here. But one of the things we want to do is just bring everybody together. Tonight we want to admonish the fact that we are a people of prayer. We believe in prayer. We're not graduate students in prayer. In a lot of ways, we're still learning to pray together. And so tonight, I hope you're able to be here with us so that we can show some discipline communally as a family and commit to being together. And we're going to run through some prayer exercises that might help us commit. One of the ideas behind Lent, 40 days of just commitment, of assessing how we can become more disciplined. A lot of times people talk about giving something up for Lent, but I would suggest to you that maybe it's a good time. It's like the first of the year where maybe it's time to commit some more time to prayer, some more time to study, some more time to reflect and meditate, and all the ways that we can better connect to God. We can start now and just really start small in attainable ways and try to build and grow to where by the end of the year we can be spiritually fit. And there's really no one who can come along and force you to do that. It's a decision that you have to make for yourself. No discipline at the time seems like a great thing, right? It takes some time and commitment. And this morning I would just encourage you to get started this week. Get started today. Find some time that you can better discipline your life around your relationship with God. I'd invite you to stand with us. We're going to have a closing song this morning. Hopefully you'll be able to stick around for our classes and discussion on the shack, and then also stick around and come back this evening as we have some time praying together.